The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Corporate radio ownership across America have banded together in the never-ending fight against the leftist media. Thousands of hate talkers across the dial is what the listening public demands. Conservative media will always be there to crush the might of the leftist media. That is to say, all three progressive shows that remain on the air.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Hello.
And now it's time for the one woman that terrestrial right-wing radio fears
no,
the
no,
most.
No, they don't. No,
not
they
to
don't.
Mention satellite.
Yeah, no,
it's the Nicole Sadler Show.
Well, you know, love that intro, Boca Brittany Summers, except for the part that they fear me. Nobody fears me. nobody at all. Anyway, welcome to it. It is a Tuesday. Oh, my God. I'm Nicole Sadler. Thank you for being here. There is a hearing going on as we speak, such as it is, in the House Judiciary Committee. It is the first hearing under the new rules that show, that make these hearings all fall under the impeachment umbrella. The problem is, it's a scam. It's a sham. It's the Democrats. Oh my God. I'm glad they're holding this meeting, this hearing. I'm a little bit frustrated, in case you can't tell. My blood pressure must have risen exponentially over the last couple of hours, the last hour or two hours, because it started shortly after 1 o'clock Eastern. We're now right around 3 o'clock Eastern. And they are in a short break. Sorry, I can't even find the right word. I'm boiling mad. And if you want to know why, it's because that little twerp, Corey Lewandowski, is treating this whole thing like it's a joke. He's like, I refuse to answer any questions unless they come directly from the Mueller report. The White House has asked me not to. The White House is overstepping its authority. There were two other people that were supposed to be at this hearing today. Corey Lewandowski wasn't the only former Trumper who was subpoenaed to be there. Oh, no. Oh, no. Both Rob Porter, remember him, the domestic abuser, former White House secretary to the president? Yeah, he was subpoenaed, as was Rick Dearborn, who I believe was the former assistant chief of staff or something like that, who was both told by the president to not comply with a congressional subpoena because of executive privilege and absolute privilege, which is something that doesn't even fucking exist. None of these people are entitled to executive privilege. Corey Lewandowski, least of all, because frankly, he never worked at the White House. But that doesn't seem to matter. Let me share with you just a few minutes of what went on. Obviously, I have way too much audio to share with you. Let me just share. First, we'll start with the beginning, where Jerry Nadler welcomed everybody to the hearing. Gerald Nadler, of course, the chair of the House Judiciary Committee, who has been saying the right things of late. I mean, he's actually calling this an impeachment inquiry. Thank you very much, because Nancy Pelosi won't go there. But here's my problem. Corey Lewandowski is making a mockery of the entire proceedings, refusing to answer even the simplest question, demanding every question be paired up with the page and paragraph from the Mueller report in which he originally gave the answer, because the president told him, you're not allowed to answer anything that's not directly from the Mueller report, and certainly not anything about any conversations we've ever had. That there's no law to back that up. There's nothing in the Constitution giving him the authority to tell this piece of shit those things. So here's how Jerry Nadler welcomed opened the proceedings with this sort of warning.
The Committee on the Judiciary will come to order. Without objection, the chair is authorized to declare recesses of the committee at any time. We welcome everyone to today's hearing on presidential obstruction of presidential obstruction of justice and abuse of power.
God.
Before we begin, I would remind all our committee members that we should refrain from making inappropriate personal references to protected parties, namely the President, Vice President, members of the Senate, and members of the House. This would include accusations of dishonesty, criminality, treason, or other unethical or improper motive.
Right. Except, let me just point out that Congresswoman Karen Bass, who would have been my representative if I still stayed in my house in Culver City, that's now worth $1.6 million, but I digress, she raised an objection after Jim Jordan, I believe it was, called the Democratic members of the panel, of the committee, idiots. He called them useful idiots. And Gerald Nadler ruled that that was just fine with him. Really? If you're wondering if there was a problem today, yeah, there's a big problem going on at this House Judiciary Committee hearing. So here, I just want to get to the part where Nadler explains why Lewandowski is the only witness sitting at that table, why Rick Dearborn and Rob Porter aren't there.
The critical issues we are addressing today, which go to the very core of our constitutional democracy, understandably bring out strong passions in us, as they do in the American people.
Yeah. Okay.
But I hope that in what should be a spirited discussion of these issues today, we will stay focused on the issues and take care to keep our comments from being directed personally toward the president.
Yeah, good luck with that. And thanks for sticking up for them.
I will not recognize myself for an opening statement.
Oh, okay. I guess he didn't put it in that opening part. Today, right, I'm not going to play the whole opening statement. Basically, he explained that Porter and Dearborn aren't there because they've been told by the White House to ignore a congressional subpoena. What they should have done in that case, this is the gospel according to Nicole, is get the Congress Sergeant at Arms, send him out to arrest those two for failure to comply with a congressional subpoena. And Corey Lewandowski should have been led out of that room in handcuffs for refusing to answer the questions, therefore committing contempt of Congress. I want you to listen to Nadler's first questions, just so you get an idea of what went on there this afternoon.
We will now proceed under the five-minute rule with questions. At the completion of the members' questions,
Pursuant to the chairman's September 12, 2019 resolution,
we received a letter from the White House just yesterday that they will not let you answer any questions beyond what you told the special counsel and was publicly released. The White House's instruction to you is based on a bogus claim of executive privilege, even though you did not work a single day for the administration, let alone in the executive branch. My colleagues are going to get into the specific events in detail, but I'm especially troubled by the president's attempt to obstruct Congress's investigation.
Me too.
And prevent the American people from learning the truth about what he's done. And I want to ask you questions relevant to that issue.
Please.
Mr. Lewandowski, is it correct that as reported in the Mueller report on June 19, 2017, you met alone in the Oval Office with the president?
Already.
Said, is there a book and page number you can reference me to, please?
Oh, my God.
I don't
God.
Have a copy of the report in front of me.
Oh, my God.
To page 90. But I simply ask you, is it correct that as reported in the Mueller report on June 19th, 2017, you met alone in the Oval Office with the president?
Could you read the exact language of the report, sir? I don't have it available to me.
Oh, my fucking God.
I don't think I need to do that, and I have limited time. Did you meet alone with the president on that date?
Congressman, I'd like you to refresh my memory by providing a copy of the report so I can follow along.
You hear this? You hear what's going on here?
I don't have a copy of the report, Congressman.
Nice way to come prepared to a hearing,
Corey. Mr. Chairman, I request that the clock be stopped while this charade is sorted out.
Thank you, Sheila Jackson Lee. I think that was Sheila Jackson Lee. So he's stopping the clock because Lewandowski is filibustering, right? It gets worse. Just
I'm
listen,
sorry, Congressman.
Listen
page
to what goes on here.
The clock should have been stopped and should remain stopped.
Damn straight.
Page 90, volume 2.
Okay, this and which paragraph?
Ridiculous.
Sir?
Ridiculous.
I'd like a reference, sir, so I can follow along
fuck
on what you're
you.
Asking.
Sorry, not you. Corey Lewandowski.
You don't have an independent recollection of whether you met with the president on that date?
Congressman, I'm just trying to find in the Mueller report where it states that.
Oh, my God.
Well, you have it in front of you. I gave you the page number.
Okay, where on page 90 is it, sir?
Oh, my God.
Mr. Chairman, you got to start the clock.
No, I don't have to start the clock. He's filibustering. Bottom of page 90. Well,
filibustering is a different issue. That's across the hall in the Senate. This is
no, that's your crooked member,
Mr. Chairman.
Fucking asshole, Collins.
Mr. Chairman.
That's not me.
The gentleman will state his point of parliamentary inquiry.
Mr. Chairman, is it appropriate for a witness to refuse to answer a question and instead demand that we reference and point him to the... I'd ask that Mueller report be closed and the witness be directed to answer
Hello?
The question.
The answer is not appropriate... But it's on the bottom two lines of that page.
Gerald Nadler, why are you bending over backwards to appease these crooks and obstructionists? Enough already! Arrest him!
Point of order. When will the clock start, Mr. Chairman?
Once the question's asked, Mr. Chairman, the clock should start.
Right under overview, second line.
I just want you to hear how long this went. Sorry. Yes.
Point of order.
The witness has the time and
will answer.
Point of order
is
a question. The witness
will answer the question. Point of order overrides that. A point of order overrides that, Mr. Chairman, and you know that.
Oh, my God.
The gentleman will state his point of order.
Point of order is once the question has been asked in reference properly to the witness to answer the question, the clock should start.
Okay. Then they took a vote on this.
It cannot be held while you and your counsel go over notes.
And then they took a vote on whether or not to... adjourn the whole hearing, which I suggested on Twitter that they should. They should adjourn the hearing, but before they do that, bring in the sergeant at arms and arrest Corey Lewandowski. He's number one, certainly in contempt of Congress. Number two, he is ignoring the subpoena of Congress, as did Rick Dearborn and Rob Porter. They should all be in handcuffs. They should all be arrested. I don't know what the fuck Gerald Nadler is waiting for. Do your goddamn job. We elected Democrats in huge numbers in 2018 to take back the House so they could perform congressional oversight that's mandated by the Constitution. If the president in this administration is not allowing you to perform that oversight, they are breaking the law. Get the sergeant at arms of the Congress to go and arrest them. Start doing something instead of acting like feckless idiots. Or we all lose in 2020. Get it? I'm so sick of the inaction of these fucking people. David Cicilline is awesome. Maybe he needs to be chair of the House Judiciary Committee. And maybe Gerald Nadler does deserve to be primaried because he's not doing his damn job. All right, I know Gotta Laugh is as apoplectic about this as I am. I've obviously blown off the comedy bit for the day. I've obviously blown off What's News because this crap is going on. So let's not wait any longer. Let's get Laffy on the line.
And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Oh, my God. We've been commiserating on Twitters over the first couple of hours of this hearing. Let's get her on the line now. Hello.
Oh, why, yes, you've reached the More Revelations About Justice Kavanaugh hotline.
Oh, boy, just what we need is Squee there. Squee.
Squee. Press 1 if you think we'll find out that Kavanaugh's penis wants to put the whole thing behind him and will sever all connections to him.
Oh, if only.
Now, this one's a little outdated, so.
Okay.
Forgive me. Press 2 if you think we'll find out that Trump and Kavanaugh are secretly bragging about the size of their impeachment hearings. And that trouble is that Jerry Nadler said that they won't try to impeach Kavanaugh.
Kavanaugh, so. Right, because they can't chew and walk gum at the same time. I'm batting 1,000 today. Hey. Okay.
We're doing well. Yeah. Press 3 if you think we'll find out that when Kavanaugh is eventually sent to prison, he'll discover just how harmless it is to have penises thrust in his face.
Oh, yeah. The sooner the better.
Have a nice day. Oh, God, I'm as mad as you
oh,
are.
Oh, my God.
I cannot stand it.
I'm beside myself, in case you couldn't tell. Oh, my God. I don't know what we just watched for the last 2 hours. Other
than embarrassing.
Feckless
Democrats.
Can we
go right to Twitter? Because I've
yes.
got okay. response.
Let's let loose the birdies. Boy, this is
welcome.
Not the energy we need.
Tweets.
Come on. Tweet. Twitter must be exploding. I know I exploded this morning all over the place.
And you know how I know how badly the Dems did? Because I'm now getting bombarded by trolls.
Oh, yes. Of course. Well, that happened to me the other night after I dared to respond to Tom Nichols, you know, a never Trumper, and tell him that, you know, thanks, but no thanks. We don't want your advice on who we should vote for. We're Democrats. I said something, you know, sort of misguided, like, you're a guest in our house. And oh my God, talk about letting loose the trolls. But it was fine because, you know what, fuck them all. That's how I feel today.
Oh yeah, I'm with you. Okay, so I'm gonna give you a couple of wait, what's this one? Well, yeah, let me just go into it. First, a little recap. Tim O'Brien, who wrote a book about Trump and was sued by Trump and won, and he's on MSNBC as an analyst, he said an overt example of obstruction in the Mueller report involved Trump's directing Lewandowski to press Sessions to derail the Mueller probe. Lewandowski acknowledged today at the hearing, this is one good thing, that Trump ordered him to lobby Sessions. He said he didn't do it because he wanted to go on vacation, which, by the way, got a laugh.
Yeah.
Because he chickened out.
Yeah.
So that's kind of just to give you a little, one little factoid. All right. So now, my tweet was, Nadler complains about Lewandowski blocking for bogus privilege claim, then says, quote, I take the claim of privilege under advisement.
Yeah, what the hell? Jerry Nadler, you know what? I've been defending this guy, thinking that he's playing the political game, but he's doing it slowly and coming to the right thing. His, you know, letting the idiot's remark go by and giving the ruling to the Republicans, excuse me?
Twice.
Unbelievable. Twice. Unbelievable.
And then so Southpaw, a lawyer, said, and this is just under my tweet that I just read, the claim of privilege made by the witness is improper. Nevertheless, I will take the claim of privilege under advisement, Nadler says. Then Lewandowski drops the Privilege Act and gets into it with Cohen, saying Trump never asked him to do anything illegal. Scenes. I was furious. I did a double take. You just took it under advisement?
Yeah.
Why is he bending over backwards for this?
I have no idea. It is unconscionable. And you know what? When I heard a couple of weeks ago that someone was going to primary Nadler, I thought that was misguided. Bring it on. Cicilline should take over as chair of the Judiciary Committee.
Yes, he's good at this. Joyce White Vance says, mm-hmm. if Lewandowski continues to refuse to answer questions, saying, quote, White House has directed me not to disclose, unquote, House Judiciary needs to get a judge to compel him to testify. Hello? Yeah.
Yeah.
How about just throwing him in the jail there? They have the little underground jail or something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's some people responding. So I said, and this is going to be a response to what I said. It's like everyone knew this would happen except the Dems. Do something, Dems, for fuck's sake. And then Michael Mescal, who used to be with the LA Times, said, liberals always want to see themselves as nice and reasonable, so have mm-hmm. forgotten how to fight. Conservatives remember that everyone is their enemy and weakness sucks. True.
Right.
That's how we should be treating them. We should
exactly.
be doing what they would do.
Exactly. That Lewandowski should have been arrested after that first exchange with Nadler. And I understand why they voted against the Republicans' motion to adjourn this hearing, because it was a sham. But they should have. They should have, but first brought in the sergeant at arms to arrest Lewandowski for contempt of Congress and for mm-hmm. refusing to comply with a congressional subpoena. And they should have sent the sergeant at arms to go arrest Rob Porter and the other guy, too. What's his name? Rick Dearborn. For failure to comply with a congressional subpoena. Arrest those fuckers and put them in jail until they comply. What is the problem here?
Show we mean business, because if we don't, then you know what the rest of these hearings are going to be like. I mean, they should be watching themselves on TV and saying, what are we doing here? If they should do what the Benghazi people did, you know, what they did with the Benghazi hearing, where they don't let up, they don't let up, they don't let up. And then they go on TV and don't let up some more.
And why? I don't understand why the Democrats can't go on offense. All they do is play defense. And they fumble. I don't know sports analogies, so pardon my fumbling of the terminology. But oh my God, they're like the little high school team going up against the pros, the New England
exactly.
Patriots. It's ridiculous.
It is. It's like literally taking candy from a baby. And then, of course, you know, Trump is trolling them on Twitter saying, great job, Lewandowski. You know, you're beautiful or something like that. And Lewandowski is trolling them with every answer. It's insane. Anyway, I tweeted out, this is just a recap again, GOP Buck just called Dem questioning harassment.
Oh my God. In fact,
they're trying to get facts on the record, and Lewandowski is stonewalling as Republicans kiss his ass and allow him to contemporaneously create campaign ads on TV.
Exactly. They're just letting him ramble on and say all this crap. It's just...
Well, he's testing a run, what is it, for Senate?
Yes.
And so he is creating campaign ads. He told everybody ahead of time that that's exactly what he intended. Let's see what this says. Exit is a breaking news, totally off topic, sorry. But exit polls show Netanyahu short of securing parliamentary majority with his hardline allies, leaving his political future in doubt.
Ooh. Oh, wouldn't that just be horrible?
Oh, I would just cry my little eyes out.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, Rick Wilson went on a great little rant, a little Twitter rant about this. I will read you his rant. This is outrageous contempt. It isn't just that this scumbag Lewandowski is slapping the committee with it. This is a test, and the Democrats are going to fail it. They're so bad at this, it makes me cringe. Going on. There's like eight of these.
Okay.
So how much insult and contempt do you need? How much obstruction and evasion is enough? Are you going to let this go? Of course you are. Trump and the House GOP are playing nuclear hardball, and you idiots are high tea. They're not bound by law or norms. And by the way, that's how I feel about the election, too. Everyone's treating this election like it's some normal course of events. It's not. Yeah. They're playing nuclear hardball, and they're going to. And we're sitting around going, let's have debates. They're playing to Fox. You're playing to what exactly? This guy's in contempt. He has no privilege or immunity. He was always a private citizen. It's not about Corey. It's about the total inability of the House majority to get down to nut cutting. Oh, I like that word. it's about the only line of defense in a threatened democracy being manned by a group of people who don't understand that until you cause Trump's shitheel minions actual pain with penalties and consequences they will act with impunity. True. Trump enablers are building a TV drama for their team. Exactly what we just said. That's why Jim, G-Y-M, et al., tear their hair out, spit and caper on the stage. They understand this is a reality show in quotes. Now, do I have to do all of this for you? They already won the day unless you provide a comparable show. And that's kind of highlighted. Take his abuse and contempt, and running these anodyne questions is pathetic. It's weak. It's not exciting television. I don't care about the legality of Sergeant at Arms. Take that man into custody.
Yes.
I care about the drama and the visual. This is just his point of view here, but it's got merit.
With me.
He's obviously in contempt. By letting him escape the consequences of contempt, the House Democrats send the clear signal that anyone from the White House can slap them, spit on the floor, and say, fuck you. This is where the whole big, in caps, impeach crowd falls down. You think these people are going to carry out some, I don't know how to say this, just say ex machina impeachment miracle when they can't even handle this Bama dipshit, Bama, I guess, I don't know what this, B-A-M-A, dipshit Lewandowski, for fuck's sake. And then he has a little gif that says, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Uh-huh. We are. All of us, I think, taking crazy pills.
But that was such a good rant. That was it. That is exactly right.
Yeah.
I mean, everything he said, whether you agree with everything in there or not, because some people say, well, but I don't know about this and I don't know about that. But basically, he's right. It is a show, unfortunately, because that's what's being responded to. Remember, your audience, it's how somebody perceives something, right?
Yep.
So the viewing audience are voters. It's how they perceive us, whether or not, I mean, I agree. We need to go legally at them. We need to have hearings. We need to do this right. But it's also how people perceive these hearings.
Yeah, but it's not only the hearings. I got to say, we have crossed over into, you know, through the looking glass, into opposite world, whatever you want to say. We no longer live in a civilized society. I forwarded this to an email list that we're both on this week. It is actually an official a piece of Trump campaign literature, a fundraiser that they sent out, posted on their website. It's out there. When I saw it, I said, there's no way this can be real. It can't be legit. It's got to be a spoof.
Oh, I did see this.
But
yes,
I went through it, and I looked at every inch of it and examined the tiny fine print, and it's all official Donald J. Trump for president campaign stuff. This is approved by this campaign, by Donald. He's Donald Trump, and he approves this message. All right, here it is, the official 2020 Trump versus Democrat poll. I'm just reading as it's written. Number one, who would you rather see fix our nation's shattered immigration policies, President Trump or a MS-13-loving Democrat? That's the first choice. Second, who do you trust more to protect America from foreign and domestic threats, President Trump or a corrupt Democrat? The third question reads, who would you rather handle our nation's economy, President Trump or a radical socialist Democrat? It gets better. Four, who do you believe is more transparent with the American people, President Trump or a lying Democrat? Number five, who do you trust not to raise your taxes, President Trump or a high tax Democrat? Number six, who do you believe will always put America first, President Trump or a sleazy Democrat? It goes on like this. Number seven, right. Who do you believe will keep their promises, President Trump or a lying Democrat? Who do you believe will fight for you every day, President Trump or a low energy Democrat? Who do you believe is better for America, President Trump or a low IQ Democrat? Who will you vote for in 2020, President Trump or a radical socialist Democrat? This is this shit they put out there, and then they speak to us about civility? Are you fucking kidding me? By the way, in my house, I forget who my husband filled it out as, but, you know, for my part, Connie Lingus responded to this survey, she voted for all of those lying, radical, socialist, low-energy, low-IQ Democrats. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Well, and what is the purpose of it? If you fill it out and submit your responses, it goes to a fundraising page. People,
gee, just like Yang did with his gimmick.
Yeah.
With his little, I'll give you $1,000, and he got like 5 zillion people responding.
Of course, because he's giving away, you know, free money. I don't know that that's legal, but whatever. He's not going to be president. Right. But this piece of shit is president. And this is what he sends out? And they talk about our lack of civility? I'm just... We talk about opposite world. We have for years. We are living it. There's nothing that makes sense anymore.
There's nothing that they care about is in terms of the rule of law or civility or anything else anymore. Anything goes. And what they did was they also provided all those recipients talking points. They use every one of those words.
Oh, of course.
Those are the words they're using in the campaign.
Yep.
Socialists. Low energy,
idiots. IQ. And these are Trump level insults. This is how he lives his life.
Right.
And now every elected official or candidate running on a Republican ticket is echoing this lack of civility, this moronic, infantile behavior. And they look at Democrats and say, we're the ones who are acting, whatever, fill in the blank. The whole thing, the way Corey Lewandowski acted on that witness stand today, I'm sorry. Why isn't he not in handcuffs?
I wish I knew. And it's like I say, everything out of Trump's mouth is a lie and or projection. That's my mantra. Everything they're doing is that they're projecting, they're lying. They're, you know, every bit of hypocrisy you can think of. I'm going to move along to the next tweet now. Where I'm off now the hearing.
Oh,
because I gave you everything that I had on the hearing. I had more, but it was all just
enough.
Stuff we talked about.
We did it.
This is about the Iran and Saudi Arabia thing. Chris Murphy did a good. It's kind of long. I hope you'll bear with me, but it's a good sort of explainer. And people often just know the headlines. They don't really know what's going on.
So I
thought it might be worth. Mm-hmm. You know, reading what he said so people can understand more.
Sure.
Okay. So Chris Murphy, Senator of Connecticut, he said, okay, in a few tweets, I'm going to try to explain what's going on in Yemen today. This was yesterday.
Okay.
So you have some knowledge to counter this claim that America needs to bomb Iran because the Houthis bomb Saudi Arabia. It's complicated, but now you need to know. The conflict between Saudi Arabia and Yemen roughly dates from the 1932 founding of Saudi Arabia, when the new kingdom took territory from Yemen in a war set off by a border dispute. The Saudis had attempted to influence Yemeni affairs ever since. Mm-hmm. The Houthis are a group of Shia tribes in northern Yemen who practice a distinct form of Islam called Zaydism. I hope I said that right, Zaydism. In the 1980s, the Saudis began a campaign to push Sunni Wahhabism. Thank you. Into Houthi areas, creating massive friction with Houthi communities. Saudi Arabia sent Wahhabi settlers into Houthi areas to try to dilute Zaydism and increase Saudi influence in North Yemen. The Houthi resistance to the Saudis and their patron governments in the Yemeni capital grew and grew. In the 2000s, Saudi-backed Yemeni governments carried out six separate wars against the now rebelling Houthis. Bush opposed most of these wars, believing the anti-Houthi campaigns to be doing more harm than good, especially as the Houthis began to reach out to Iran for help. Mm-hmm. Over the course of these wars, the Houthi military capabilities grew, and by 2010, they were most battle-tested army in Yemen. In 2015, they successfully marched on the Yemeni capital, Sana'a, and Saudi Arabia and UAE initiated a full-fledged war against the Houthis. Since 2015, there have been atrocities committed by both sides. Casualties are hard to track, but it could be that 100,000 Yemenis have died in the war, and the resulting humanitarian disaster has resulted in another 100,000 children dying of starvation or disease. The cholera outbreak, the result of water treatment plants being destroyed, is the worst in recorded world history. Yeah. Houthis refuse to let food and medicine reach contested areas. Saudis drop bombs on hospitals and school buses. Bottom line, it's the ugliest war on the planet. Over time, the Houthis have turned to Iran for more and more help. The Iranis don't have a command and control relationship with Houthis, but their influence grows every day the war continues. Houthi drones likely come from Iran. Over time, a dangerous game of escalating behavior has developed. Saudis kill a bunch of Houthi civilians, then the Houthis launch an attack on Saudi Arabia. The latest attack on the Saudi refinery follows a Saudi attack on Damar prison, which killed 100 people. Bottom line, this is the last one. Mm-hmm. Bottom line, the Saudis sowed the seeds of this mess. They marginalized the Houthis in the 80s and through the 2000s wars. They bungled the prosecution of the post-2015 conflict. Houthis/Iranians have blood on their hands too, but the U.S. should not be a part of this disaster. And the other thing, my two cents, is that this has been ongoing. So for suddenly Trump to say, look what Iran has started, has done, like it's something new, like this is ongoing.
Yeah.
This isn't like, oh, look, oh, my God, we have to bomb Iran now. You know, this is just on and on and on.
Right. No, nothing. The only reason Trump is doing this is because, and he did it. He said it throughout the Obama presidency in tweets that someone, I saw screenshotted just earlier today. Basically putting out screenshots of Donald Trump imploring Obama not to go to a war with Iran just to win the next election. It's like, give me a fucking break.
Right, right. I know. It's and drum. I mean, that's all I hear. It's Bush all over again. We've got, oh, look. My mind just went blank, but the CIA and the intelligence agencies have come up with this and that evidence that it's from Iran. They're all coming from Iran. This is all about Iran. Well, you know what? We had evidence about Iraq, didn't we? Right? Evidence.
Quotes. Right. Evidence.
So, and anyone's going to believe Trump? I mean, there may be merit. Okay, there may be, but I don't trust it. Mm-hmm. Not until we get some kind of corroboration. Oh, and then, oh my goodness, I hope I have this available to myself. Saudi Arabia, where is it? They denied knowing where it came from. Now my computer's freezing up.
Oh no.
Cover me here while I look. Because I'm just scrolling down and my stupid computer keeps free. Oh, Twitter won't let me look. But it basically said that there's no proof of what the United States is saying about where this came from. Mm-hmm. Nobody's saying for sure it's Iran, except Trump is sort of almost saying it. So don't believe anything.
Anything from Trump, I don't believe.
Of course. Yeah. But I mean, this intelligence that everyone's quoting, because all the mainstream media is quoting the same stuff, and we don't know if it's true or not.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, here's something that was weird. So Trump did a rally, another ego rally.
Yeah, in New Mexico, where he has zero support, by the way, just saying.
Right.
Go ahead, keep going to New Mexico and California, where he's at today, by the way.
Yeah, screwing our traffic worse than it usually is screwed. In this rally, he came up with this weird quote that Daniel Dale did a lot of question marks on. And he says, in a rare story about a named person calling him sir, which automatically you know is a lie when he says sir.
Yeah.
Trump said that when he arrived, quote, General Mattis told me, sir, we're very low on ammunition.
Oh, God.
He said Mattis told him to delay a possible conflict with the country Trump didn't name because of an alleged ammunition shortage. Quote, we are very high on ammunition now, Trump added. That's a story I've never told before. Breaking news. But we were very low. I could even say it stronger. I don't want to say no ammunition, but that gets a lot closer. And then Daniel Dale just does a series of question marks. So he's telling us he's the commander-in-chief. Is saying that the United States had no ammunition?
Right. Well, this is the same guy who, remember, he's in New Mexico. And sorry, I'm going to play 60 seconds of Trump insanity. Ooh. All right, this is from his rally last night.
And another great friend of mine, somebody that was on CNN, and they didn't like him because he was too positive on Trump. Can you believe it?
No.
He happens to be Hispanic.
Oh,
he
gets
happens
better.
To be Hispanic, but I've never quite figured it out because he looks more like a wasp than I do.
Oh, God. Hey. Everything about this man
is
bigoted.
But I'll tell you what, there is nobody that loves this country more or Hispanic more than Steve Cortez. Steve.
Nobody loves Hispanic more. Oh, except me. Me.
Thank
I love
Steve.
The Hispanics. Wait, it's coming.
The Hispanics.
Nobody loves the Hispanics more. What do you like more, the country or the Hispanics?
Oh, God.
He says the country. I don't know. I may have to go for the Hispanics, to be honest with you.
We love our Hispanics.
Oh, my God. You know, if you
we love our the Hispanics.
If you are of Latinx heritage and you vote for him, you get everything you deserve. Let me just say that. If you believe he loves our Hispanics, you get everything you deserve. Unfortunately, we get it too. That's the problem.
Watch how much he loves you if he gets reelected.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, see all that love pouring in.
Yeah, he loves you already. You know, you'll be deported. Doesn't matter if you're a citizen. You peaky penny.
Right.
You're not American. You don't speak the language. You don't speak English. You have brown skin. You get out of here. You come from a shithole country. That's your president.
Yeah, God. That's it. That's disgusting. Okay, here's something that's really pissing me off. Sean Spicer.
Oh, God.
Did I say more? Okay, so he goes on Dancing with the Stars.
Uh-huh.
Everyone's posting clips. Everyone's posting GIFs. They're all laughing.
Yeah.
Okay, so the headline I quoted was Sean Spicer is trying to gin up the Christian vote to win Dancing with the Stars. I don't even know what that's about, but headlines.
Because of what he posted. He said it doesn't matter that the judges have it in for him. Hashtag Christ is on his side. He posted that, and I retweeted it this morning. And then when I all of a sudden went back, and oh no, he deleted the post in which he said Christ, I guess that's God, was rooting for him on Dancing with the Stars. Are you fucking kidding me? What planet are we living on?
I don't know. I'm glad you filled me in, but I'm sort of not glad. anyway, I said stop normalizing him.
Yep.
He covered I'll just read my own tweet. He covered for his fraudulent, lying, criminal boss. He was a willing accomplice and still is. Making a further laughing stock of himself doesn't change that. Stop putting out headlines about him. Stop showing the GIF.
Yep.
Stop
yep.
talking about him. He was an accomplice. He lied to the American public about everything. And now they're going, oh, isn't he funny? Let's laugh. He's wearing a funny shirt and doing funny dances. That's normalizing. That's glamorizing somebody who should be in jail with Trump.
Yep. Nope. And again, he claimed in print, in a tweet, that Christ is rooting for him on Dancing with the Stars. Now, he's since deleted that tweet with no mention of it. I think we need to call attention to it, frankly. I wish I had taken a screenshot.
Oh, that I would. That part, sure.
Yes.
I'm talking about showing him you know, well, funny little gifs of him dancing in the funny green shirt.
Well, he does look moronic.
That is not funny because he's a...
He does look moronic.
Oh, no, he totally does. Not questioning that at all. Not at all.
Yep.
I just resent the fact that that's the kind of attention he's getting now when this is a much more serious matter than making fun of him.
Exactly. No, I hear you. Believe me. And he was there with, in his picture he tweeted with Reince Priebus. They're cheering him on. It's one big happy family, the former Trump administration officials. Unbelievable. By the way, before we move on, I saw, you know, Ivanka this week was asked about her moral clarity, where she gets her moral cues from. Ivanka, did you really say you get your moral compass from Donald Trump?
Daddy taught me everything. I know. I don't know if you noticed, but I cut my hair.
No. Oh, yeah, I did, actually.
It's a nice little bob because Daddy likes my hair that way.
Oh.
And I never say no to Daddy. He's my moral compass. He's my immoral compass. A moral compass. I'm sorry.
Moral, right. Immoral. Moral.
He's my moron compass.
Yeah, there you go. That makes sense.
Okay. Moron compass. Okay. Now, if you excuse me, I have to walk like a model off the plane.
Okay, don't trip over those heels.
Okay, so back we go. Yeah. This was a disturbing little news thing that came out. CBS News. Abortion clinics report record high violence. One provider said the movement against abortion access feels similar to when Dr. George Tiller, a well-known abortion doctor, was assassinated in 2009. This is scary stuff. This is a big red alarm. We're going to have to start doing that thing where we had lines of women and hopefully some men too, to protect as a perimeter around each abortion clinic so that people can't get shot again.
Sure. Yep.
This is so disturbing to me because I covered Tiller heavily back in 2009. In fact, it was one of the first radio shows I did with Angie Coiro.
Mm-hmm.
My first one was about something that went viral all over the world, and I got asked to be on different shows. But then she followed up and had me on regularly. And the first one I did after that was about Tiller and about abortion cookies. And I mean, all these, it just, a horrible, horrible time in our collective lives, and now it's happening again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is happening
again.
So
I wanted to emphasize
that. It's all just a little bit of history repeating. I used to use that as my theme song. It was, it's by Shirley Bassey with the Propellerheads. It's a great song. I can't use it as a theme anymore because I get copyright violated. But this is what we're going through. And if you know, maybe this is a good time for history classes to pull out, you know, the history of the rise of fascism in Europe.
Yes. Yes.
Because history repeats itself and we're seeing it unfold. There's a discussion in the chat room at NicoleSandler.com of, you know, what happens if Trump wins again? And my view is it's game over. This nation will not survive another Trump administration. It will not. We will implode. We'll descend into civil war or something. Something horrific, more horrific than the fact that Donald Trump is president, will happen if he's allowed to have another
term. And that's why I'm moving and trying to move to Canada. Because even if, again, I know I repeat this often, there are people who haven't heard it. Even if we win everything, even if we win a landslide everything, we have judges that are now installed, and there are too many of them, and there are more coming, and those perpetuate bad rulings. So even I have this from Ezra Klein. Due to the Electoral College and population patterns, a new study predicts that, quote, in the modern period, Republicans should be expected to win 65% of presidential contests in which they narrowly lose the popular vote. I just don't have a lot of faith in anything anymore. I'm all for fighting. I'm not giving up. Don't get me wrong.
Right, right.
And even if I move to Canada, I will continue to fight just like I do now.
Yep.
I just won't be able to attend any protests locally, you know. But I'm just saying how I feel about it. And I can't outlive the generations of judges that have been put in. He's stacked the courts. Rulings will go against
yep.
us. They already
yep.
have in some cases. And I'm not feeling optimistic. I think we can get some movement going. I think we can resolve some things a little bit, but look what's happening with climate change. It's too late. We are now figuring out just how to live with it.
Oh my
God.
How
to adapt to it.
Let me take this moment to remind everyone that, you know, Brad Friedman's out for a little while. His father suffered a serious stroke last week. So,
oh no.
Yeah. So he and Desi are in Arizona with him and his mom and trying to figure out how to go forward. So I've been holding down, you know, doing his show, as has Angie Coiro. The two of us are holding down the fort for him. I'll be in for Brad today, and I'm going to be speaking with Tamara Tolles O'Loughlin is her name, and she is the North America director of 350.org. You know, because this week, Friday, starts the climate strike, and it's a whole week worth of event and then some. So we're going to talk about what's going on in our efforts, last-ditch efforts, as it were, to save the planet. Because, you know, we were talking for so long about how the experts tell us we have 12 years. Well, you know, a year has passed since then, so we're
right,
down to 11
right.
now, and things are heating up faster than they predicted. So maybe it's 10. I mean, it is the fierce urgency of now. Just in case you were wondering, and Donald Trump, you know, thinks it's a Chinese hoax. Just saying.
Right. Of yeah. course he does.
Yeah.
Because the oil people put money in his pockets and get him voters.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's a headline. This is from Washington Post. Judge forced off bench after online posting of noose Make America Great Again message.
Yeah. This is what we get. Congress, Senate, for just pushing through Trump's 150 judicial nominees already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I believe that one Senate, I know one Senate can put a hold on a bill. I'm thinking one senator can put a hold on a nomination, too. These Democrats need to start playing hardball. They need to start blocking these Trump judicial nominees and don't let another one through. That's what the Republicans
yep.
do. You need to do it, too.
And this plays right into my next tweet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do my quote tweet over it after I read you. MSNBC tweeted, "Morning, Mike." Mika says,
ugh.
"It won't work if 2020 Democratic candidates pursue Supreme Court Justice Kavanaugh's impeachment, and it plays right into Trump's reelection." And I said, "Apparently, doing what's right and seeking justice through investigation is now something to be scared of."
Right. I don't know about you. I'd rather go down swinging than lie down and let them roll over me.
Absolutely. Oh, I couldn't agree with that more. I could not agree with that more. I'm going to read one from yesterday that I was saving till the end, but
okay.
Since time's getting a little
yep.
short, I want
yep.
to squeeze it in.
Okay.
I was listening to the Craig Melvin show.
I'm sorry.
Do that in the morning when I get ready.
Oh,
I know,
it's
horrible. It's a terrible show.
He is one of the worst of the worst on MSDNC, and that's saying something.
Yeah, no, it's bad.
Yep.
But when I'm up at early my time when he's on, and you know,
yeah.
I don't have any, and so I just have it on in the background.
And the alternative, just so you know, on CNN at that time is Poppy Harlow. I know, because I've done the A-B comparison as to which one is worse, and it's a toss-up. They're both horrible, but go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I figured. So at least some of the guests might be okay on MSNBC. But anyway, I just have it on so I catch the headlines for the day. And so here's what I saw. The guy who was Trump's My African American.
Yep. Yep. Who left,
okay.
left the Republican Party.
Yeah. Here's what he said to Craig Melvin. He said, "Trump isn't necessarily a racist. He just has a white superiority problem."
Oh my God. This got
so much play.
It
surprised me how much play that tweet got, but he actually said that.
Oh my God. Okay.
Trump's African American said he's not racist.
Yeah, sure.
He just has a white superiority problem.
Yeah.
Okay, so then here's some of the reactions. Oddball Longfellow, a new follower of mine, said, heavy sigh. So by that token, neo-Nazis aren't necessarily Nazis. They just have a minority problem. And then Pink Purple Blue added, imagine Ivanka saying, daddy isn't necessarily a misogynist. He just has a serial underage beauty queen addiction on top of sex trafficking problem.
Oh, God.
And then Scott Stedman, the investigative journalist, mm-hmm. said, Is this a good time? Oh, no, sorry, let's eliminate that one. That was a different one. It's a whole different topic.
Hold on, I got breaking news. And, it's moments like this that I live for in watching those stupid hearings like we're not watching right now. But apparently about 8 minutes ago or so, Congressman David Cicilline, who we talked about before of Rhode Island, urges House Judiciary Committee Chair Nadler to hold Lewandowski in contempt for obstructing Congress. Gasps in the room. Why gasps? He should have said, you're absolutely right. Sergeant at arms, arrest this man.
Gasps. You know why they gasped? Because they couldn't believe somebody had the balls to say it finally.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
It is amazing. I'm glad he's... Oh, thank you, David Cicilline.
Thank you, David Cicilline. Yep.
Here's something Empty Wheel said. This is about the Iran thing. Trump's going to war because MBS has promised to keep oil prices low through the election.
Oh, God. Well, okay. This, I'm going to play for you. Well, you know what? It's going to take too long. Katie Turr actually did a great segment yesterday on, the fact that Donald Trump lies all the time and now his threats regarding Iran. And he's lying about that, and you can't trust him, and now you doubly can't trust him. Let me play this, because it's good. It's a minute and a half. Here we go.
These escalating tensions with Iran come after Yemen's Iran-backed Houthi rebels took responsibility for an attack in Saudi Arabia that shut down 5% of the world's oil supply.
Yeah.
The Saudis today said their initial investigation indicated Iranian weapons were used in the attacks. Iran has denied the U.S.'s claims. It's all happening against a backdrop of failed U.S. efforts to get Iran to the negotiating table, despite repeatedly offering them talks with zero preconditions.
Hello.
But to come back to the credibility of the president, he's now claiming that the fake news is saying that I'm willing to meet with Iran, no conditions. That is an incorrect statement, as usual. Not only has the president said he'd meet with Iran with no preconditions multiple times on camera, but his top aides have as well, multiple times, on camera.
Yep.
I would certainly meet with Iran if they wanted to meet.
Do you have preconditions for that meeting?
No preconditions, no. They want to meet, I'll meet. Anytime they want. No preconditions.
You want to talk good, otherwise you can have a bad economy for the next 3 years.
No preconditions.
Not as far as I'm concerned. No preconditions.
The president has made clear he's happy to take a meeting with no preconditions.
The president's made very clear he's prepared to meet with no preconditions.
Today, the president reversed himself, insisting there were always conditions. Yes, it is hard to take this president at his word.
You think?
But we're talking about threats of armed conflicts with Iran from the commander-in-chief of the world's most feared military as he rages about his political enemies and heads for a campaign rally. Mr. Trump has made it clear he does not want to be mired in another major conflict in the Middle East. But still, does that mean he gets to threaten it with impunity?
Hello. This opposite worldness is amazing. And, he keeps lying with impunity, and the Republicans back him up.
And just on that note, two tweets about today's hearing.
Oh, God.
Should be said for the record that Matt Gaetz just went up and gave Lewandowski a warm hug at the witness stand. Another Republican, Representative Biggs, the New Freedom Caucus chair, also went up to embrace Lewandowski just now. That was when the first round opened up,
right
at the very beginning. But yeah, so they kiss everybody's ass. They're not kissing the ass of the rule of law, but they're kissing. And on that note, Adam Schiff tweeted, under the White House legal theory, witnesses are immune from subpoena if they have worked for the president or not, when he was president or not, about conversations the president was in or not. Wrong. Corruption isn't a privilege and compliance isn't voluntary.
Right. By the way,
now do something about it.
Exactly. I need to read a tweet from Elie Mystal, who I adore. He tweeted, Hi, you've reached Elie. If this is about holding Corey Lewandowski in contempt of Congress and having the sergeant at arms arrest him, please press 1. If this is about any of the other bullshit the House Democrats has decided to do, please scream into the void.
Perfect. I will find that tweet and I will retweet it.
I just retweeted it, I believe.
Okay.
Yes. Yep.
Well, I've got him. I follow him, and he's
great.
I'm going to just click on it right this second.
And here, look, I've been, talking out my ass. I believed that the sergeant at arms could arrest Corey Lewandowski and the other two for just not showing up, for contempt of Congress, for refusing to comply with a congressional subpoena. But it was my educated belief on the subject without doing the research and consulting the law books. But enough lawyers, and I believe Elie Mystal is a lawyer. If not, he certainly plays one on TV. enough lawyers have said the same thing, so I know I'm in good company.
Yeah, no, absolutely. LOL GOP had something to say about the Middle East. He said this over this tweet. The tweet is from, who is this? Somebody from Bloomberg, David Joachim, I can't say his name. Breaking: the Pentagon is preparing a report on who was responsible for the weekend attack on Saudi oil facilities and intends to make it public within 48 hours. And then LOL GOP said, everybody knows the most important thing when it comes to war in the Middle East is that we rush things as much as possible.
Is that we rush things as much as possible?
Yeah, because they said they're getting this report out in 48 hours. In other words, they're rushing this out so we can get to war.
Better to be fast than accurate.
That was his point, exactly. Yeah. Here's one. Okay, this is from yesterday, but it's the same thing I was looking from today. Dion Nissenbaum from Wall Street Journal says, Saudi officials say they have not reached the same conclusion that Iran launched the attack and indicate that the information shared by the U.S. is not definitive. And they said that again today.
The information released by the U.S.
regarding Iran launching the attack.
Of course it's not definitive. Look, even if it were, I don't believe this administration.
Of course.
I don't believe them for a fraction of a second because they lie to us about everything. So why would you believe a word they say? That was the point of that Katie Turr piece. It was shortened from the longer. But seriously, how can anybody believe a word this administration says, especially when it comes to life and death matters?
Well, Saudi officials are saying this, so it makes him look stupider even.
Right.
Or like a bigger liar. Here's an LOL GOP tweet about Kavanaugh. Imagine thinking the woman whose students saw Brett Kavanaugh stick his penis on may have been too traumatized to even remember it happening is a great defense of Brett Kavanaugh.
Is a great defense of Brett Kavanaugh? Sarah, oh, God.
That's what he's saying. Yeah, like the woman. Well, look, they were too traumatized to even remember it. So how could you believe them? Imagine that being your defense. That's what he's saying.
Yeah. I just don't get it.
I know everything.
I feel like this about everything. Again, since last week when we spoke, last Tuesday, I'm still fighting with people who are allegedly Bernie Sanders supporters who insist on taking Elizabeth Warren down. Because what they don't understand is we have two good progressive candidates. The two of them together beat Joe Biden handily, easily. But separately, they're both underneath him. The DNC will take every opportunity to discount the fact that Warren and Sanders combined have more support and push Joe Biden through, should he not, you know, shoot himself in the foot before, a nominee is chosen. They want progressives to eat each other. They want us to go after each other's throats. They do not want progressives to have power, and you're playing right into their hands. Stop it.
Please stop it. Please. I want to go drinking. Want to go drinking with me?
Yes, please. But you're in California. And I got to go do the broadcast. Gotta Laugh. Find her on Twitter at Gotta Laugh. And I'll see you later today on the broadcast.
Yeah, you will.
Bye, Laughy.
Oh, you will. Bye-bye.
And I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks again, everyone. Bye.